AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Five huge Premiership matches to build up to, with life after Brendan Rodgers beginning for Celtic as Martin O'Neill takes to the dugout for tonight's match against Falkirk. It's Danny Rule's first Premiership away game as Rangers face a trip to Easter Road. Hearts are looking to maintain or even extend their lead at the top of the table as they go to Paisley. It's also Motherwell against Dundee United and Kilmarnock against Aberdeen. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Jim Duffy and Alex Ray. There are huge games happening, Alex, but maybe even bigger than that, the storylines to go alongside them.
Well, yeah, without doubt, what an incredible 48 hours. Five fixtures tonight, Martin O'Neill back in the dugout. I think if you'd brought that up at the weekend, you'd have been off your head to suggest something like that. But it's a good opportunity for Martin to go in there and try and stabilise, you know, what's going on in the last couple of games. And obviously behind the scenes as well, we're led to believe there's going to be another protest. Big game over in Edinburgh as well, with Hibs versus Rangers, Kilmarnock, Aberdeen, Motherwell, Dundee United, and then St Mirren Hearts. So some really good fixtures, as well as all this off the field stuff.
Yeah, Jim, you and I were in this studio on Sunday night. There were some calls of Celtic fans that wanted Brendan Rodgers to go. There's obviously been the unrest around the board as well. Could you have imagined what has happened since I last saw you?
No, I mean, we had obviously discussions with some of the callers, Andrew, on Sunday, you know, discussing the situation regarding Brendan Rodgers and you know, the frustrations at Celtic Park, but never for one minute did we think that it would unfold the way it has done. You know, I think we did say that perhaps it might be time to try and make some sort of decision, in the sense of, you know, either give Brendan a contract so that the club could move forward, you know, with a process of strengthening the team, or if that's not the case, then get someone in. But certainly the way it has, and listen, it's not been pleasant. I don't think anyone can say it has been not an ideal situation. And in recent weeks, I think it's just I can't really remember a time, and even though the time I've been involved in football, where there's been so much change at the two big clubs in Glasgow, Celtic and Rangers, in such a short period of time, and so much unrest in both groups of supporters. And it'll be interesting to see the reaction tonight. Obviously, I think from Celtic's perspective tonight, at home against Falkirk, they're expecting maybe a more positive connection between the fans and the team with Martin O'Neill going in there. But as Alex just mentioned there, there seems to be another case where there's going to be a protest against the board. So I think there'll be mixed emotions tonight at Celtic, but from Martin's point of view, I think he will be, you know, another one. It was a surprise that he gets this opportunity at his stage in his life to go back to Celtic Park as a manager. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all goes tonight.
Yeah, no surprise there is so much focus on Celtic and everything around the club and the game tonight, Alex, but I think on any other night, the top billing could well be Rangers going to Easter Road, always a big game, with a new manager in charge. Yeah. Hearts looking to potentially extend their 8-point lead at the top of the table, looking to maintain that, looking to potentially go into the weekend with the opportunity to go 11 points ahead if things fall into place.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you rightly said, there are some really interesting fixtures as well. You know, I think amongst all this madness and off the field, you know, you've got the fans, both sets of fans have this disconnect with board members. But when you get back to the bread and butter, it's about winning football matches. And as Jim says the other night, I think Martin O'Neill just want to try and get this over the line, buy, sell a couple of days just to settle, get his feet under the desk, and then take it from there, because there's obviously a recruitment process will be underway as well with the Celtic board to try and replace Brendan Rodgers. And but again, you know, you've got Danny Rowe on the other side of the city who will be looking to try and kind of build on that positive result at the weekend. And, you know, you're only as...
As good as your last
result.
Exactly
right, Jim. So that's the thing, is it's, so the scrutiny is constantly on these managers, and I think that's the beauty of being the manager of one of these big clubs.
I think that you're saying there that the fact that Rangers will have got their manager in place now, he's still got maybe part of his recruitment team, believed to maybe you know, increase. But from Celtic's point of view, Alec, you know, it's an interim manager, an interim coaching team as well, and therefore, you know, that recruitment process. So I'll be interested to see how the Celtic players respond to that, because they know there's still going to be another manager perhaps there within the next days or weeks. So it's quite an unusual position for them to be in.
Yeah, I listened to Sean Maloney do an interview, and he was talking about, he says it's kind of the atmosphere in the dressing room and the training ground seemed a little bit flat, and it was important that they tried to pick them up as soon as possible. But I would imagine there'll be a full house at Parkhead tonight. They'll be looking to try and galvanise. Once they make the protest, I don't think this has really generally been at the players over the course. I think the last couple of weeks have been a bit of discontent in terms of some of the performances. But in the main, they've been very supportive of the team.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025. Maybe you are a Celtic fan that just didn't get through last night because the phones were so busy. Maybe you needed an extra 24 hours to digest everything that's happened and you want to give your thoughts now. 01419511025. Or maybe you want to do the more traditional build-up on a midweek fixture card. Who do you want your team to play? Who do you want them not to play? How do you see your game going tonight? 01419511025. Of course, we love hearing from you if you're on your way to a match as well. Let's get a taste of things, shall we, by going around the grounds. We'll start with Celtic Park. Gabriel Antoniazzi building up to that one.
Yeah, good evening, Andrew, from the east end of Glasgow, where Martin O'Neill is the Celtic manager. Sean Maloney is on the Parkhead bench as well. No, this is not the early 2000s. This is 2025. Welcome to the brave new world Celtic are now living in the post-Brendan Rodgers era. His resignation late on Monday night shocked the whole of Scottish football. And when majority shareholder Dermot Desmond released a retaliatory statement just minutes later, the wider footballing world sat up and took notice. The Irishman called Rodgers divisive, misleading and self-serving, and claimed Rodgers' words and actions have contributed to a toxic atmosphere and fueled unacceptable hostility and abuse towards members of the board and their families. Quite simply, a club that seemed in decline are now in total disarray. Just 8 months ago, they were seconds away from taking Bayern Munich the distance in the knockout stages of the Champions League. They looked on for another treble, they looked way ahead of all other clubs in the country and ready to build on their improved platform in Europe. That was the plan, but it's fallen off a cliff since then. More failings in the transfer market and regression on the park have led to this. Their most successful modern manager has walked away. Perhaps the best image to sum it up right now is what the boys were talking about. A protest outside the front gates here at 7 o'clock. The latest in escalating action against the current running of the club by the Celtic Fans Collective. The board have to somehow hope O'Neill, who is of course still held in the highest regard here, can unite fans this evening and start to get results on the pitch, because that's his simple short-term aim. They're 8 points behind Hearts in the league and they can't let that gap get any further. And of course, there's the League Cup semi-final against Rangers on Sunday. Now, O'Neill will undoubtedly get a brilliant reception here. It'll be really interesting to see what he does with the team as well. You probably wouldn't expect too many changes from the weekend's defeat to Hearts due to the lack of time on the training pitch, although Dane Murray may be swapped in place of the more experienced Austin Trusty at the back. And let's, of course, not forget Falkirk in all of this. They're flying high in the top half. They've won their last two matches. They're starting to establish themselves as a proper Premiership club, which is what their supporters have thought they are or long to be for a very long time. The manager John McGlynn, of course, worked with Rodgers at Celtic. McGlynn spoke yesterday, said he was sad to see Rodgers go, but that he doesn't expect much to change on the pitch tonight, highlighting that lack of training time that Maloney and O'Neill have had with these players. Of course, Falkirk were the team that saw off Russell Martin and Rangers at the start of this month. They didn't get the chance to see off Rodgers. He did that himself. What an intriguing build-up to a match like no other. Team news from both sides when it comes at around 6:30.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Let's go to Easter Road. Tom Grant has the picture building up to Hibs against Rangers.
Yes, good evening, Andrew. I'm sitting here in an empty, quiet Easter Road right now, but rest assured, in less than 2 hours' time, Danny Rule will have his introduction to an away day in Scottish football. But what a week it's been. The Rangers manager has only been officially in the job for 8 days and has already suffered a humbling European defeat, apologised to the fans, notched his first win in charge and saw the exit of the manager of his City rivals, Celtic. All the focus, certainly for the last 48 hours, as Gavs was just explaining there, has shifted from Govan to the East End of Glasgow, with that dramatic Brendan Rodgers news and the fallout from that. And Rule yesterday welcomed a bit of time away from the spotlight. He spoke in his pre-match press conference about belief, noticing smiles on the faces of his players, about building momentum following Sunday's win over Kilmarnock. And he expertly swerved questions posed to him about interim Celtic boss Martin O'Neill dismissing Rangers' title challenge this season. What Rule can't swerve is the test of Hibs tonight in Leith, the Edinburgh side currently occupying third place in the Scottish Premiership table, 2 points above Rangers. David Gray's Hibs side have picked up again after a stuttering period. They've won their last two, most notably a 2-1 win over Aberdeen on Sunday. Kieran Bowie and Theobald Cledjie look set to lead the line for the Highbees. £1 million, Cledjie beginning to repay the big fee with 2 goals in his last 2 appearances. Warren O'Hara came off with a shoulder injury at Pittodrie, but Gray said it wasn't too serious, so interested to see if he'll play a part for the home side tonight. For Rule, he started with two up top on Sunday. Those two were Miofsky and Danilo, but he changed it after the first 45, hooking Miofsky for Mikey Moore and describing his ploy after the match as playing three number 10s behind Danilo. The Brazilian frontman did get his goal on Sunday with a cute header, but so did Youssef Chermiti, getting his first in the blue of Rangers. And with no fresh injury worries, probably all eyes will be on that question: who will lead the Rangers line of attack? I'll let you know when the team news comes out in about 20 minutes time.
Yes, let's go to the phones. Kevin is a Celtic fan on his way to the game tonight. Kevin, what is on your mind? Is it Brendan Rodgers, Dermot Desmond, Martin O'Neill, something, someone else?
Hi guys, how yous doing?
Good, Kevin.
It's actually everything really. I've got a couple of points. I don't really know where to start, but we'll start on Dermot Desmond first. Firstly, I was a wee bit unhappy that he used the club to make his statement and make his point across. I think it was quite unprofessional. I don't think he should have done that, really. I've seen Brendan Rodgers leaving. I think everybody seen that he was going to go at some point. But I was more shocked that Martin O'Neill just took care of him. And I think I've got a name. It's probably been thrown about before, the last day or two. But I'd really like Craig Bellamy to get the job. I think it'd be a great appointment.
Craig Bellamy, he is one of the names doing the rounds, currently in charge of Wales, obviously worked under Vincent Kompany, didn't he, at Burnley as well. I think several names will crop up over the next few days, potentially weeks, but could you see Craig Bellamy being one of the front runners?
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's a name in the frame, and as Kevin has mentioned there, and amongst the other ones, you know, I mean, listen, I'm sure there's a few left field ones that haven't you know, surfaced yet that may well in the next few days. But Craig Bellamy's obviously in charge of Wales. He's a very proud Welshman. I think if you are a manager of the national side, I think it's a difficult one. Listen, he's young. Some people want that day-to-day involvement with the players, and can understand that. But he's in the middle of a qualifying campaign for the World Cup. So I think that would be a difficult one just for him personally, just because of his passion for Wales, and whether that the draw of a club at Celtic, huge as it is, it would be enough to entice him away. But yeah, I definitely think he'd be one of the main candidates and one of the names that should be on the list, possibly. You know, everyone knows the kind of passionate player he is. He doesn't have a lot of experience as management, but by all accounts, Celtic are looking to go down the route of a young manager, or, you know, and that obviously he fits the bill and ticks a lot of those boxes.
Kevin, everything that's happened over the last couple of days, you mentioned that Dermot Desmond statement that came out. Do you think that could affect the managerial hunt at all? Do you think any potential candidates might look at that and it could put them off?
It could possibly. It could, yeah, especially the way the transfer window went. Even the last couple haven't been ideal. Probably for January last year when we got Adam Eder and right at the end as well. I mean, he was saying, I think Dermot Desmond was wrong when he said that Rodgers is to blame for the atmosphere between the fans and the board, because I think that was the case long before Rodgers even arrived at Celtic Park the first time. I think there's been a lot of division. Obviously, no to the extent it is just now, but I mean, even when Rodgers was away after the first time he went, there was a lot. I think Peter Lawwell was just, he's just a person that a lot of Celtic fans aren't taken to or they don't like. I mean, I personally don't take too kindly to Lawwell. I'm not a big fan of him.
That statement that Dermot Desmond put out, could that potentially be damaging, do you think?
I think if you were offering any manager, I don't think that would really come into their thinking. No, in my opinion, Andrew. I thought the actual comment was incredible. It was inflammatory, really, and you know, and a lot of personal attack in there in terms of how things played out. I've spoken to several Celtic fans over the last couple of days, really, and it's kind of split. Some people felt as if that was exactly what was needed, and then there was others saying it was unbecoming of someone of that stature at a football club like Celtic. So whatever stance you take, it's obviously, it's interesting because I would expect, depending on the circumstances behind the scenes, I would expect Brendan Rodgers to come back with something at some stage if there's no NDA there. So you look at that, then I'd be flabbergasted because it's obviously his reputation as well going forward into his next job that some of them were kind of really interesting. But in all my years, I've never actually heard anyone of that position come out with that kind of attack. You know, he could easily have come away with, you know, right, thanks for your services. But, and, you know, I've obviously heard people talk about the platform, using the Celtic platform to attack a former manager who was highly successful. So there's plenty of ways to look at this. But going forward for Celtic, I think they really need to get a manager in kind of soon and then try and get the best out of this current squad before the January window opens and then try and sustain a relative charge to the title then.
Because the words in themselves are quite shocking, Jim. Mm. You don't see that every day in football. And look, they might all be true. None of them might be true. Mm. The truth might well be somewhere in the middle. But it's the fact that, you said earlier on, you just don't really see high-ranking figures at football clubs sort of use the club channels in this way to talk about an outgoing manager, do you?
Yeah, you know, to things like divisive and self-interest and toxic and all these things, these are very strong words and phrases that you use against a manager. As Alec, as you said, he's been one of Celtic's most successful modern-day managers. There's no doubt about that. So it's a, you know, again, everyone will have their opinion. You know, it's like Kevin saying, you know, he's got an opinion on, like he's mentioned, Peter Lawwell. I mean, again, from someone who doesn't work in football clubs, you look from the outside, you tend to think that Peter Lawwell's done an incredible job, you know, in terms of, you know, his job in terms of, you know, how the club is financially very, very strong. But from Celtic fans' perspective, they're wanting to see that investment in the team. And yeah, he's right, the recruitment over, not just in the recent transfer windows, but over the last maybe 18 months or so hasn't been good enough. And that's the reason why, when you've got the likes of the injuries and out, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, even in the actual, even though he was only brought at the last minute, they're very, very thin in a lot of areas, Celtic. You know, that even for Martin O'Neill tonight, you think, OK, he could bring in Anthony Alston, sort of a wee bit more experience, trust him a wee bit more experience, but he doesn't have too many other options there that you would look to try and dramatically get a performance from this the team. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. For me, I don't think that you know that should have been a statement from the major shareholder. I really don't think so. I don't think it does anyone any favours. I think if you're unhappy about things, then you might well have spoken to Brendan Rodgers himself personally and says, listen, we're not happy with it. And cleared the decks that way, but then you move on. But this is just pouring petrol on it, you know. And I don't think that helps Celtic because there's so many issues just now. And as Alec has mentioned there, the disconnect between the fans and the board. There's more than just what Brendan Rodgers is perceived to have done in the eyes of Dermot Desmond. So I just don't think that helps matters. I think Celtic have to find a way of bringing everyone back together again. The short term is from Martin O'Neill tonight. Absolutely. Can he get a performance? Can he get a result tonight by himself? It's only a couple of days because you have Rangers at the weekend. But in football, a couple of days actually seems like an eternity these days.
Well, thanks to Kevin. Let's quickly squeeze in Brian in Barmulk. Brian, what is it about the whole Celtic situation that is at the front of your mind?
Basically, the standard is Dermot Desmond with that skating attack and Brendan Rodgers. There was just a need for it. What so if he had a grudge with Brendan, he should have been a bigger man, no say the public, phone them, because obviously he's got Brendan's phone number, and just have a talk that way. But what's concerning me is there's another protest outside Parkhead tonight. The board get it, that they're wanted. The man should just stop, because it's just, this is Mark O'Neill's first game. The last thing he needs is people outside shouting, sack the board, sack the board. It doesn't look good. And this doesn't look good for the next managers coming in. I've seen the list that was drawn up. The only ones that I would think that could do it would be Kieran McKenna for Ipswich and the Bodo Glimt manager. If it's Damien Duff or anything else, if it goes wrong, the Celtic fans are just going to turn on the manager. And then there's talk about Ange coming back. That's us just going back again. I don't want Celtic to go back. They should be getting a manager that's young, that's got fresh ideas for the league and the Champions League. I would say Celtic are dominant in the league. I would say they should start making a crack at the Champions League.
Brian,
yeah, I was going to say Brian's breaking up there. Just to go on to that, whoever the next manager is, that's a real task on our hands straight away to get Celtic, you know, back up close to hearts, don't they?
Yeah, well, I think a part of the problem that Celtic have at the moment, Jim mentioned him, he's obviously got Carter Vickers out for a period, Alistair Johnson, Iheanacho, Maeda is also, so they're all key players. However, I was looking at the bench at the weekend there, a couple of days ago, and people going, well, you can't really do a lot for the bench. I'm thinking, well, see, when you actually look at the bench,
there's a few million there.
Well, that's what I was looking at. So you've obviously got Trusty, Balakwisha was a costly one, McCown, who's done really well, he always nicks a goal from outside the box. Bernardo's been really good, obviously this season his form's kind of dipped and we've not seen a lot of him. You've also got Jamesy Forrest, who's been kind of steadfast over many years, and Ralston's a Scottish international. So when you actually look at the options that Celtic currently have available to them, even with the injuries, it's probably as good as any other bench in the country.
Well, thank you to Brian, 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in and we'll speak to you next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, building up to five big games in the Scottish Premiership. And if you call in tonight this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we have tickets for Air Race Course's sensational Saturday, the last Saturday fixture of the season. Every caller that comes on goes into the draw to win a pair of tickets. Then on Thursday, we have tickets for the Legends Lounge in the Parade Ring marquee overlooking the Parade Ring, which includes your table for the day, a private bar, private betting facilities and a welcome drink as well. So call 0141 951 1025, make your point on air, and you could be off for a day at the races. And if you don't get tickets, you can still get them at air-racecourse.co.uk. Right, let's speak to Barry, who is a Celtic fan in County Durham. Barry, how are you?
I'm good, guys, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I appreciate that. First of all, it's mainly about the board. I don't have any grudge or ill feeling of Brendan Rodgers. I think over his two stints as manager, he's done a fantastic job. But I think, like many other fans and callers, it's mainly the board, and especially Dermot Desmond. It's coming to a dictatorship. You've got Peter Lawwell and Michael Nicholson, who have not said anything. And I just feel it's becoming a dictatorship. If he's not happy, he's going to slate a manager, and it's not boding well.
Yeah, it is interesting because Dermot Desmond is the principal shareholder. He's not the majority shareholder. He doesn't hold over 50% of the shares. So obviously him coming out, making statements, he's the one phoning Martin O'Neill. But I even found it interesting yesterday that when Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney are paraded as the interim duo that are going to take over things, I think at most other clubs, many other clubs, you would have had
the CEO or the
chief executive,
yeah.
or chairman, someone yeah. sitting next to them mm-hmm. fielding questions, yeah. especially after what's happened in the last couple of days. But there's been a silence, really, from anyone apart from that statement from Dermot Desmond.
Yeah, and I think that was fairly evident in that press conference, you know, how they were just bouncing off each other, because normally you do have someone to talk about the previous mm-hmm. announcement of the manager going. And it didn't seem to be as if anyone was forthcoming to see how this all played out. Because I think one of the things, and I'm kind of diversing a little bit, one of the things was the John Kennedy situation for me. And I've had a wee run-in with John during my time when I was at Rangers. So I have so much respect for a guy that's won so many trophies and been committed such a long time. I'm just fascinated. And I think a lot of my mates who are Celtic-orientated are fascinated to see how that played out. Did he leave with Brendan? Did he resign? Was he sacked?
No
and
comment,
how it all played out. So I think that's one of the things that could maybe be cleared up as well.
I think, from, you know, what Barry's saying there about Dermot Desmond, and I think it is interesting, Andrew, that, you know, when Martin O'Neill was getting interviewed, he said he got a call from Dermot Desmond saying, would you take over? Martin, you know, was obviously typical Martin, making a little jokes about it, saying, oh, you got a 10-minute window to make a decision. But it was from Dermot Desmond. It wasn't from the chairman. It wasn't from the chief executive. You know, it was from the principal shareholder, as you call them. So therefore, yeah, that suggests that it might not have been a board decision, you know, and that's always can sometimes, you know, lead to certain questions. And perhaps that's part of the reason why there was no one there from that, you know, situation, because they might have known that they would have been asked questions on Dermot Desmond's statement. Did you feel that, you know, the statements were divisive, or, you know, all these kind of phrases? So they would have been asked that. So I think what they wanted to do, and I can get that from a Celtic perspective, is just focus on Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney and going forward and just try and move on from that. But as Barry said, you know, some Celtic fans will see it as one man making the decisions. Now, whether that's the case or not, obviously we're not. But it seems to be, from the outside looking in, that Dermot Desmond is the guy.
Do you not get the impression
the
over the years, though, Jim?
Call.
Over the years, Jim, do you not get the impression that Dermot Desmond has always been the main man that kind of makes the decisions?
Yeah,
at Celtic?
But it's just interesting to say that he's never really come out and made other statements, you know, previous, you know, when something's done well. So, for instance, if Brendan Rodgers won a treble, you know, they don't say, well, that was fantastic. You don't get it just seems to be in this particular case there's a real division between them. I mean, you know, it's been a real acrimonious divorce, isn't it, really, you know what I mean, between Brendan and Dermot, when there seemed to be a real togetherness. They seem to really, they, you know, it seemed to be a happy union, but that's not the case now. The thing from Celtic's perspective is now they need to move forward, but they need to get the next guy on board, and the board themselves, I don't think that unrest is going to go away anytime soon, even with the comments that Dermot Desmond made. I think there's still a lot of negative opinion going around of a lot of Celtic fans about how the club is moving forward, or how they've stagnated, how they haven't moved forward, really.
Well, Barry, hang on the line, because I want to get your thoughts on this. Gabriel has the Celtic team for that game against Falkirk, picked by, of course, Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney.
Yes, Andrew, Martin O'Neill makes four changes from Brendan Rodgers' last side that lost at Hearts at the weekend. It's Donovan, Murray and Hatate all dropping to the bench, whilst Tierney misses out altogether. In come Ralston, Trusty, Sirachi and Forrest. So the team is as follows. It's Kasper Schmeichel in goal. A defence of Tony Ralston, Austin Trusty, Liam Scales and Marcelo Sirachi. Arne Engels, Callum McGregor and Benjamin Negrin are the midfield three. James Forrest is in on the right wing. Johnny Kenny and Seb Tounekty complete the lineup. There's a bit more firepower on the bench as well. Dyson Mader's returned from his injury, and Callum Osmond is amongst the substitutes. Also, Sinisalo, Balikwisha, Shin, McCowan, Bernardo, Hatate, Murray and Donovan.
What do you make of that, Barry?
I think there's quite a few positive changes. I thought Martin would do that when he came in, and hopefully it's a step in the right direction. I just wonder, though, if I could put one more point across.
Yep, go for it.
It was mainly about Dermot Desmond. In his statement, this wonderful statement he made, he claims that Brendan Rodgers sanctioned the player's departure. For example, Kyogo, Kuhn, and those kind of guys. Why would any manager sanction a team a person leaving without bringing any replacements in. It's beyond me, guys.
I mean, what potentially backs that up is you go to the end of the summer transfer window, and I remember I was at a press conference, sat in front of Brendan Rodgers, who said essentially there is no way Adam Ida will be allowed to leave unless Celtic get a replacement in before the deadline. Now, Adam Ida did leave before the deadline. Celtic ended up getting a replacement, but it was, 24 hours after the deadline? So people might point to that and say, well, did he have the final say on everything? There's then the situations with the likes of Shin Yamada, Hayato Inamura, Jemai Simpson-Pewsey, guys that have been brought in that didn't really appear to be part of Brendan Rodgers' plans at all.
Club signings.
I think he's actually said that quite a bit over his tenure, Brendan. I remember, I think they brought a winger in one time and they said, I've not really seen the boy. Yeah. And you're thinking, right, okay.
Marion Schwed, wasn't it? He said Celtic have a million wingers. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because we've often said this in the show, we're not quite clear in how the recruitment process works at Celtic Park, but listen, there's going to be a kind of to and fro, and I think from a Celtic perspective, I think it's just a case of trying to get back down to basics, get a winning team on the park. It's obviously, he's gone with Kenny, Forrest and
Taneke.
So, hopefully for Celtic's perspective, that the young boy Kenny could really do with a goal as well.
Well, thank you to Barry. Let's quickly go to Easter Road and get the teams for Hibs against Rangers with Tom Grant.
Yes, Andrew, I mentioned about 20 minutes ago that all eyes were on the attack, but the big news here is Danny Rose made 5 changes and there's no James Tavernier in the starting 11. He drops to the bench. So the team from the start is Butland, Giga, Suter, Derek Cornelius, who's of course scored, Max Ahrens is on the right. There's no Gassama on the right either, so that one's come from nowhere for me. Raskin and Conor Barron in the middle. Magoma retains his place on the left, and it's Danilo and Chermiti up top in the top two. Mikey Moore will be playing behind them as well. So it looks like he's going to go a 3-5-2 with Mikey Moore just playing behind the two strikers. On the bench is Kelly, Fernandez, Tavernier, as I mentioned, Finlay Curtis, Diomande drops to the bench, Rothwell, Gassama, Asgard again, no starting place for him, and Mayofsky, who also started on Sunday. The Hibs team is, as I said, Kieran Bowie and Clegg do play, so it's Salinger and goals, Hanley, Kieran Bowie, Chris Cadden, Iredale, McGrath, Clegg, Nicky Cadden, Mulligan, Ballister and Rocky.
Yeah, quite interested in that Rangers team because you wondered whether it was going to be the back three, whether it was going to be the back four. James Tavernier dropping to the bench. So Max Ahrens is in there, Giga, Suter, Cornelius, you'd expect will be the back three, Magoma, but Yusuf Chermiti getting his place after scoring.
I was actually just writing that down there, Andrew. I actually said a couple of days ago, I was actually impressed with Chermiti when he came on the other day. I was at the game on Sunday. I was impressed the way he linked his movement. He was kind of pleasing on the eye, and he obviously got that goal, which
please be celebration.
Yeah, well, listen, see, the thing is, Jim, the one thing that was fairly evident was the fans' reaction to that. It was a fairly well received goal from their perspective. Obviously, a lot
celebration,
wasn't it? Yeah, oh, listen, I was away up in the Broomland Road stand, I couldn't even see him that far away without my glasses on. But I actually predicted that he would play tonight. I actually thought his movement was decent, and I thought Danilo. And I've often said that when I was in there, that Danilo was, it comes to finishing, he was by far the best finisher in the building. He's just had a horrid, torrid time with injuries. And then when Moore came on as well, I thought he was effective. So it'll be interesting to see this because you're going to have to roll your sleeves up here as well. And then obviously the wing-backs, Magoma and Ahrens, will have to be very much up for the fight tonight.
Rangers fans, any reaction to that? 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Michael, who is a Celtic fan in Rob Royston. Michael, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi Andrew, thanks for taking my call. I would just like to appeal to the Celtic fans that are making a protest tonight to try and put things behind them. We've got a new manager there, management team there, and we've got a title to win. We're 8 points behind Hearts. What's happened in the past, we need to try and move on from. We're not going to make a difference through this season. We're not going to lose any board members in the next few weeks, or maybe the next AGM is the only place that will happen. I believe what Dermot's statement, in my opinion, I think that anybody sticking up for Brendan Rodgers, any Celtic fan sticking up for Brendan Rodgers, needs to have a look at himself. He promised that he was going to stay there for his 3-year contract. Again, he's walked out in the club, he's resigned. The transfer window previously, I actually blame Brendan Rodgers for that as well, because I couldn't put my finger on the pulse to find out what the hell's going on there. I can't believe Celtic Football Club would be responsible and not be professional enough to get some players in. And I believe that players were offered to Brendan Rodgers that he refused. That's my opinion, and that would probably coincide with Desmond's statement as well.
Michael, do people not have the right to protest if they you say nothing's going to change over the next few weeks? But is the point in protest not to try and enact change? Is that
so? All that does, Andrew, is breeds negativity across the club, the whole club, including the team. We saw that against Dundee at Dens Park when they threw stuff on the park. That affected the team. It affected the result. We need to get behind the team. We need to unite as a club, but we need to unite as fans. And we've got a league to win, as I said earlier. And we need to all get behind the club, behind the team, behind Martin O'Neill, behind Sean Maloney, behind it all. We all need to unite and go on and win this league. We're 8 points behind Hearts, unheard of before. And by the way, this Hearts squad are a really good squad. And the owner will invest in January if he's in me a shout of winning the league. So Celtic need to wake up. The whole club, fans, everyone needs to unite and get behind the club, behind the team, and start pushing forward to try and win this league, because it won't be easy for where we are right now.
Obviously, for Michael, in an ideal world, everyone will just unite at the change of a manager, the fact that Brendan Rodgers is gone. But for a lot of the people protesting, the manager wasn't the problem. The problem for them is the board and the people running the club. So it's not just as simple for the ones protesting to then
all of those banners and that didn't have a picture of Brendan Rodgers on it. They had all the board members, including Dermot Desmond at times. The one thing I would say about Michael, I totally disagree with the reason why Celtic lost up with Dundee, because some of the fans threw tennis balls and protested. You know, I think that Celtic should be more than good enough to beat Dundee.
The game stopped for Dundee as well, as Celtic.
But also, the game had started. And Celtic, you know, if people are, you know, complaining about Brendan Rodgers, they don't even look at themselves. But I think if you're grasping at straws, thinking that that's the reason why Celtic have lost up at Dundee, then that's grasping at straws. So Celtic have lost their last two away games to Dundee and also at Hearts, and they've lost them, you know, comfortably, should you say, in a sense. So Celtic's got to perform a lot better on the pitch, regardless of what happens off the pitch. But in terms of the protest, I mean, I don't think that helps the general atmosphere. I think that's a good thing. I think Celtic, traditionally, particularly at Celtic Park, because it's difficult now away games, for instance, only about 550 fans or something like that at Tynecastle. So, you know, that's difficult. Hearts are on a good run of form. They've got a terrific atmosphere there. So it's hard to generate atmosphere, but at Celtic Park, you can do that. Now, whether that's the case before the game at 7 o'clock and then when the match starts, they'll get right behind the team. But I think that that's got to be turned around over a concerted period of time, and there has to be dialogue. And the Celtic fans groups, the various groups, they've got to think that the board are listening to a certain extent and moving in a direction they would like to see the club going in. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, Andrew.
Well, thank you to Michael. 0141 951 1025. Keep those calls coming. And while you do, I will tell you about this.
Oh, my God.
Make me a winner at Halloween. Clyde One.
Yeah, it might be Halloween coming up, but you won't be horrified to see that it's £666,000 that could be in your account if you win Make Me a Winner this week. For £2.50 plus your standard network rate, you'll get 15 entries. Text YES to 61025, or to get 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Text are £10 plus your standard network rate, or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate as well. It's over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Do not miss out. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday, and if you get the call, all you need to do is just answer it, and £666,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, building up to five big games in the Scottish Premiership tonight. We've taken a look at Celtic against Falkirk. We've given you the teams from Hibs against Rangers. We're going to speak to Ryan, who is a Rangers fan, on the line shortly. Another big match, of course, is St Mirren against Hearts. Table toppers, Hearts. I'll give you the teams for that one. Shamal George in goal for St Mirren. The back three, Marcus Fraser, Miguel Freckleton and Richard King. It will then be Conor McMenamin and Declan John as the wing-backs. Keanu Backus, Killian Phillips and Mark O'Hara, the three central midfielders. Dan Landulu and Mikael Mandron leading the line. For Hearts, it's Alexander Shvolov in goal for them. Ocean McEntee, Craig Halkett, Stuart Finlay and Stephen Kingsley are the back four. It's going to be a midfield three of Harry Milne, Benny Beningame, Cammy Devlin and Alex Kizaridis, Claudio Braga and Lauren Shanklin leading the line. No surprise that Hearts have gone unchanged after the weekend's performance.
Yeah, I mean, they were terrific, particularly in the second half. I think the first half was quite even. Celtic probably edged it, but in the second half, I think Derek McInnes, we mentioned, you know, had a little tweet, put Braga around about Callum McGregor, sacrificed he probably star player this season to stop Celtic first and foremost, get a grip of the game, got a couple of quick goals, and then saw the game out relatively comfortably. And you know, that they're going to get this game absolutely bursting with confidence. But St Mirren need the result, Andrew. You know, I mean, they've had some really good performances, but they haven't managed to pick up results. Obviously, Alec Gogic going to be missing after his red card at the weekend. So a wee tweak in defence there. And if you look at St Mirren's team again, you know, there's a lot of attributes there. You know, you think that I think they have to go after Hearts a little bit. You know, they sometimes like to play on the counter, but I think tonight, because they haven't had too many wins recently, I think they're going to have to get after Hearts. So I think, yeah, I think it'll be a really competitive game. I mean, if I had to put my pound bet on it, I'd probably put a draw. But
I'll get off the fence, Jim.
Yeah, but I would, but because I just think, you know, that it'll be a really competitive, demanding game. And obviously, sometimes as well, when you've had that big performance and a lot of the plaudits, which Hearts rightfully deserve, sometimes it's hard to maintain that.
Yeah, sometimes the energy levels drop. And I just look at the boy Kazaridis. I was so impressed with him at the weekend. You know, he can go inside, outside, some real ability there. And then I thought Cammy Devlin in the middle of the park, and they're going to need that drive, Beningame and Devlin, if they're going to continue with this run, because Jim's right, I think that's three defeats in a trot that St Mirren's had, and they'll be looking to bounce back in front of their own fans.
As I said, Ryan is a Rangers fan in Stirling. Ryan, what do you make of that team to play Hibs tonight?
Morning. Good night.
Hi. Good morning. Good night for us as well.
You're on the night shift, Ryan.
He's also just completely disappeared as well. I don't know whether he's just disorientated, doesn't know what's going on.
Maybe he's come off a night shift.
Morning, good night, and then just hung up straight away on that. We will try and get him back. I think his point was on the Rangers team. We didn't go too in depth with it. There are changes there. Do you think any of them are a sort of nod to the weekend, the big game coming up, or do you think it's more of a fit going away to Easter Road is obviously a different kind of test from
We were just chatting about this during the break, Jim, and I think he's going more physical with the back three. You look at Hibs, they've got some massive guys, you know, Hanley,
Bashiri, Bowie, Iredale.
So they've got some decent height within their ranks, and I think it's set play.
Great delivery as well with Cadden as well.
Yeah, I just think when you look, obviously they've left James Tavernier out, and I actually thought that was a real bonus point in terms of when you got on the ball for me, Tavernier, because the Kamarnock pressed with two at the weekend, and when you managed to get comfortable possession, you want Tavernier to be the one that's driving forward. I'm not quite sure that Giga will have that same kind of quality on the ball. But defensively, it obviously gives you a height advantage.
In terms of, we talked about the front line, Mikey Moore coming back in. Was that, you feel he did well when he came off the bench? He's faced a bit of criticism, obviously a young lad coming in on loan from Tottenham, but do you think there is a lot more to come from him?
Yeah, I've not seen a lot of him live. I obviously seen him at the weekend. I thought for me it was more of a central role. You know, he was just more of an inside 10 as opposed to being in the wing. And
he's obviously going to play behind the two strikers.
Yeah, I think that's the way they play, Jim. I think they'll play the 3-4-2-1, and it's just kind of trying to pick up pockets behind the Hibs midfield. And as I said to you, little Danilo drops down, takes up really good positions and links the play. And I think when you're looking to try and get your wing backs in advanced areas, Danny can be the one that kind of links that, him, and then Moore can be the one that can be more creative driving at the Hibs backline. But I think the reason for me is that they've actually gone with a back three, is it gives them that extra body, in defence when they don't have possession, because I feel as if they've been really vulnerable with a flat back four.
It's funny, you know, just again back to, you know, we're talking earlier on about recruitment in various clubs, you know, Rangers fans weren't happy with their recruitment because they felt as if some of the money invested wasn't in the best players. Celtic fans are about the same. But the one thing Rangers did do in the summer, they brought three wingers in. Gassama, Ant-Man and Mikey Moore, and now they're not playing with any wingers. So just, you know, different managers. Obviously Russell Martin wanted to play a kind of 4-3-3 with two out and out wingers.
Yeah.
So he's wanting plenty of wingers and plenty of options. Now you know Gassama, particularly early on in the season, was probably Rangers' best player, and particularly in Europe. But now, when you play, when you take the wingers out, it's going to be interesting to see whether he sticks with that.
But this is the interesting thing for me. He's obviously went over to Brann and realised that the four wasn't working, and he's been pragmatic. He's changed his, because it's not often you see Rangers play with a back three at Ibrox. You know, normally they're comfortable in the four, but he's recognised that they're kind of, I think it's been a long, long time since they managed to keep a clean sheet as well. It's not something they've had, so they thought we'll have to go more resolute when we don't have the ball and it becomes a back five.
Now we just can't get Ryan back. I don't know what realm he's living in, but he's just disappeared,
he's in a different country this morning,
just accidentally phoned up. Well, who knows. Let's speak to Chris, who is a Celtic fan. On your way to the game, Chris.
Sorry, how are you doing, lads?
Good, Chris.
Good, thanks.
Right, I just want to get some positive vibes going about the club now.
Good man.
We just need to try. The season's not over. It's early days. It's still early days. Celtic's been 15 points behind before just run about Halloween and still put it back. They're only 8 points. It's easy doable. And St Mirren's a hard team to beat. They get more possession against any team outside Celtic Rangers and opposition's boxes, so expect him to be hearts a game tonight.
Do you think Martin O'Neill was the right man to see Celtic through this interim period, Chris?
See, I think Martin O'Neill's just been brought in to cool down the temperature a wee bit to try and calm some things down. I think Sean Maloney will probably be calling maybe the shots, directing the team to the sideline. Martin O'Neill will be probably just doing the team talk in the dressing room and that, and I think that's more just a TR thing. He's just camping doing a bit.
I do wonder.
To be honest, the tension is high at Celtic right now. Tensions are high.
Sorry, Chris, I was just going to say to Alex there, Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney spoke about the dynamic yesterday. The fact that Martin O'Neill has been away from things, he's been watching from afar. Sean Maloney has been working at Celtic. When it is such a quick turnaround, do you think Martin O'Neill will be relying on Sean Maloney quite a lot? Whether that's just tonight or going forward.
I actually quite liked listening to Martin O'Neill yesterday when he was actually giving Sean Maloney his place. You know, for a guy that's actually done so much in the game as Martin has, and he was saying, I'll probably be taking direction off of Sean. So I think he gave him his place. And again, I'm not sure how the dynamic will work. I don't get the impression that Martin O'Neill's going to sit in the background, because he doesn't seem the type. He's quite a passionate character. Sean's a lot more calculating, kind of cool kind of character in his demeanour. So I think between the two of them, they've obviously got Fozzie back in the building as well. So, you know, you've got different characters within that kind of makeup. But as long as the message is clear and what they're looking for, and listen, they're vastly experienced guys, and I would expect them just to be kind of trying, as Chris says, we're trying to calm the guys down, Andrew. And it's just a case of going out, try and express yourself, try and play with a freedom. And I actually think that because the protest is 7 o'clock, I don't think it generally affects the team, because, you know, the time that the team comes out, I think everyone in that stadium will get behind Martin O'Neill.
I think that, you know, Sean and Matt Fotheringham all look at the preparation side of it, you know, how they prepare for the game. I think what Martin does, and Martin's always done, if you ask any former player that worked with Martin, you know, his impact was in the dressing room, half-time, you know, during the game, all these things. It wasn't the training and that side. That was down to the coaches. I don't think that will change from Martin's perspective. It's about his charisma and his personality and how he can impose himself as a manager, you know, on the players and get that respect. I think he will get that when he goes in, even though some of the players might not be quite aware of who he is and quite about his reputation. I think just his own personality, I think, will determine that. So I think he'll be like, when the game starts, that motivational side of it, when it comes to substitutions or anything like that, tactical, you'll have a discussion with Sean and then he'll make that decision. But yeah, listen, he's an unbelievably vastly experienced, but also a very successful manager as well in his time there. And I think the Celtic fans, as Chris said, it will buy them a little bit of time, a little bit of goodwill with something like Martin on the touchline. So initially, when the match kicks off, that's what you want. You want that, so hopefully the players relax. But let's not forget, Falkirk are a very good side. You know, they're playing with a lot of confidence, a lot of belief. Again, terrific result at the weekend. John McGlynn's done an unbelievable job there. So I don't think Falkirk's going to go there biting their nails.
Well, thank you to Chris. 5 big games in the Premiership tonight, but none bigger than this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on Alex Ray or Jim Duffy at Beat the Pundit. Ring 0141 951 1025 now.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean. Another hour to build up to those five Premiership matches, so keep the calls coming. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to reflect on what has happened at Celtic over the past couple of days as well. More than happy for you to do that. 0141 951 1025. Well, let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Michael in Kinross, who would you rather play at Beat the Pundit, Alex Ray or Jim Duffy?
I'm not too bothered, Andrew. Maybe Jim Duffy.
They both got 100% records this season. Haven't played that much. Mm. You've played twice, Alex. 1-2. Jim's 4 from 4 this season.
Wow. Get it off.
Decent start. Right. Let's get straight into it, shall we? Down. It will be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin, which you could well win for Jim Duffy, or the red side for Alex Ray. It will be Jim Duffy, the blue side. So you got your wish, Michael.
We will put some
Greatest Hits Radio in the ear of Jim Duffy, so he cannot hear us. It is 30 seconds on the clock, Michael, to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. How does that sound?
Perfect, yep.
Let's go for it. Mrs. Panda is one of the mascots for which club?
Alba.
How many Celtic managers did John Kennedy work under?
Three.
Who is the current top goal scorer in the Championship?
Pass.
If Hearts draw tonight and Celtic win, how big will the point gap be?
6 points.
What was the score in Scotland women's game against Switzerland last night?
4-3.
Which team did Brendan Rodgers join immediately after Celtic last time?
Leicester.
True or false, Aberdeen get their nickname the Dons as the Mafia once invested in the club?
False.
Okay, we will bring Jim Duffy back in. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Oh, can you hear now?
Did that feel quite quick? Was that take you by surprise?
Yeah, it was a wee bit.
That's right, Michael.
I'm listening, Michael, a wee bit of Texas there, so it was good.
Enjoying it.
Singing away there. Yeah.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock for Jim Duffy. Let's do it. Mrs. Panda is one of the mascots for which club?
Peterhead.
How many Celtic managers did John Kennedy work under?
5.
Who is the current top goal scorer in the Championship?
Josh McPeak.
If Hearts draw tonight and Celtic win, how big will the points gap be?
6.
What was the score in the Scotland women's game against Switzerland last 4-3 night?
4-3 for Switzerland.
Which team did Brendan Rodgers join immediately after Celtic last time?
Leicester City.
True or false, Aberdeen get their nickname the Dons as the Mafia once invested in the club?
False.
Right, we will bring Michael back in. Michael, how do you think that went?
Might be close. I think it might have just picked me.
It definitely was close.
Listen, half mind was. We'll go guesses, through absolute them. Guesses.
Mrs. Panda is one Black of the mascots.
Was it Simon?
Alex is going to get that.
Yeah, they booed me out the door.
Mrs. Panda booted you out the door.
I was thinking of Dunfermline. You know, they had, I remember going to see any kind of bear type thing, you know, and I couldn't remember what it was there. But anyway.
No, it is St Mirren. Neither of you got it. So it is 0-0 after the first question. How many Celtic managers did John Kennedy work under? Michael went for 3. You went for 5. Aye. Split the difference.
4.
It's 4. Dyla, Lennon, Postecoglou, Rodgers. So it remains
Rodgers twice.
Yeah, but how many individual? How many individual managers? Come on,
and
if they were both twice, you'd still
exactly
get it wrong.
Still get it wrong. I know that.
Who is the current top goal scorer in the Championship? Michael passed that one. You went with Josh McPeak.
Yes,
it is Josh McPeak. He has 9. Mm-hmm. Right. So it goes 1-0 to Jim Duffy. If Hearts draw, this is my worst nightmare. See, quick arithmetic. This is a nightmare for me. But to be fair, you both did well. If Hearts draw tonight and Celtic win, how big will the points gap be? 6.
Brilliant.
You both got it. 2-1 to Jim. What was the score in the Scotland women's game last night against Switzerland?
2-2.
You both said 4-3, and you both got it right. So it is 3-2. Caroline Weir scoring in her homecoming to Dunfermline. Which team did Brendan Rodgers join immediately after Celtic last time out? You both said Leicester. You both got it right. So it goes 4-3 to Jim. A good game. You both got one more question in. It was a true or false. Aberdeen get their nickname the Dons as the Mafia once invested in the club. What do you think, Alex?
Oh, it's false.
It's absolutely false. Yeah. Apparently it just comes from Aberdonian.
Yeah.
Dylan. Yeah. So unlucky, Michael. It is a 4-3 win for Jim Duff. No, I think, was it 4-3?
Because we both get that right.
Oh, sorry. Yes, you both
Andrew,
got that
you're
right.
You're right about your mental arithmetic.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Right, look, at least you know. At least you know I wasn't lying.
Yeah.
That is the main thing. It is 5-4, and it is a win for Jim Duffy, who keeps his 100% record going. Michael, you are a Rangers fan. How are you feeling about this game tonight?
Yeah, pretty good. I think it might be quite tight. Hibs are obviously in decent form, you know, big strong side, but maybe things are looking up under Danny Rowe. We need to give the guy a chance, you know. So looking forward to a good game, Andrew. Yep.
Yeah, it's still early in his tenure, but does this feel like a big test of his credentials? How he handles matches like this?
Yeah, I think so. No more difficult places to go than Easter Road and under the floodlights, etc. So it will be a test, but hopefully we can come through it.
Yeah, it'll just be interesting to see how Danny Rowe handles it all, yeah. Because Rangers are away against Bran. I don't think many people took much away from Danny Rowe because he was thrown into things. He only had a couple of training sessions going into that. He obviously changed things at the weekend, which shows an adaptability. It's then whether that adaptability comes to fruition again in a tough game.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that will be evident, having been there many times as well, is that the Hibs team will be on the front foot. I was looking at Hibs bench as well. You've got Kieran Poyle, Johan, you know, some really good players as well. So they've got players who can mix that up as well. So the one thing you have to do when you go to Hibs, particularly when you have guys like Grant Hanley and Cadden and all these type of guys, you just have to compete first and foremost and then the right to play, and then you have to try and express yourself at the top end of the pitch. So it's going to be in for a tough night tonight. That'll be a hard game now.
Michael, in terms of the league, is that done for you, or do you feel that there's still plenty of life left in it?
I liked Chris Boyd's joke at the weekend. I don't know if you caught it about the odds there, 12-1 Rangers. He fancies that, but I was thinking about this recently. Actually, I mean, Hearts could maybe implode as the season goes on. You never know. You don't know how it's going to go under Martin O'Neill. And if you just get to stick a few wins together and narrow the gap, you never know. It's been a crazy season, so who knows? To be honest, Andrew, no idea.
That's what football does to supporters, doesn't it? Because I think if you'd maybe asked some Ranger supporters a couple of weeks ago about the league, many of them would have said it's absolutely done for. But all of a sudden, Rangers have a new manager at the helm. Celtic's manager has resigned. There's just so many moving parts that it does give people confidence at times. And then all of a sudden, one result can then just knock you back to where you were before.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Rangers beat Kilmarnock at home at the weekend, and there's a kind of change in optimism there, you know. But I think that you know, for me, Rangers have to go on a real significant run of wins to have any chance. I think if you close the gap to 4 or 5 points, then there's an opportunity to start getting a little bit more belief. But, you know, at this moment in time, I think it's far too much. I don't think Hearts will implode. I mean, listen, it may well happen. I just think they'll look at their squad. But I said at the weekend as well, Andrew, looking at their manager, I think that, no disrespect to Jimmy Tierlin, but Jimmy Tierlin came in at Aberdeen. He was a new guy, didn't know much about the Scottish game, had a phenomenal run at the start and a lot of points on board. But, you know, he wasn't an experienced manager of the Scottish football. Derek McInnes is. I think he knows what it takes. He's been, a guy at Aberdeen before, challenging up the top of the league. I think the squad is strong. I think the bench is strong. I think the recruitment's been good. I don't see him going away anywhere soon. We say tonight will be a tough match. There's no doubt down at Paisley. I'm not saying they're going to win every game. But I think they'll be in the fight right throughout the season.
Yeah, just thank you to Michael first and foremost. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Just looking at the lineups from the other two games that we've not covered off so far. For Kilmarnock, Olawayemi comes in goal. He is on an emergency loan from Celtic. Just before I get to the rest of the team, that may be unsurprising, just given Eddie Beach's performance at Ibrox at the weekend.
Yeah, the goal, he had a bit of a nightmare, didn't he? You know, Ibrox in, you know, brought Olawemi in. He was at Dunfermline last year on loan, did very well. Again, big imposing goalkeeper, good with the ball at his feet. But yeah, I don't think that's a surprise. I think, you know, you have to be ruthless as a manager at times. Stuart Kettlewell said, no, sorry, that's not good enough for performance. And, you know, making a change and, you know, again, Kilmarnock, you know, have had a decent season so far, but they want to get back on track as quickly as possible.
So, yeah, it will be Oluwayemi in goal. It will be in defence, Brannan, Stanger, Williams in these lines, Polworth, Thompson and Watson in midfield. Kilty supporting Dakers up top for Aberdeen. Mitov in goal, a back three, I think, of Devlin, Knuster and Milne, with Lobben and Jensen the wing-backs. Armstrong and Shinney, the two central midfielders, Polvara and Carlson supporting Lazetic up top. Let's take a look at the teams for Motherwell against Dundee United as well. Another big game. Ward in goal for Motherwell. Katrumbus, McGinn, Welsh and Stephen O'Donnell in there. The midfield, Slattery, Watt and Fadinger, with Maswanise and Charles Cook supporting Callum Hendry up top for Dundee United. Kucherenko in goal. It's then Stevenson, Esselink, Koretzes and Ferry across the back. Chevet, Eskinen and Sibbald across the midfield. Moller, Sapsford and Fata, the front three. There is just drama everywhere you look, isn't there? Especially with how tight the table
the league is. Yeah, absolutely. And you obviously mentioned Motherwell there. They managed to get that late goal the other day. I actually think Jim Goodwin's done a brilliant job. I think it was at 13 players in the summer as well. Get them to settle down relatively quick. But the league is so tight at the moment. And he'll be looking to try and build on that. Now, they're obviously getting a lot of plaudits as well, Motherwell, the way they play, this expansive stuff. It gives me the heebie-jeebies at times, but he's sticking to his principles. And I think Jim Goodwin will be very much aware of that tonight, where he'll be trying to get, you know, retain the ball in their defensive third.
I don't know whether this is the football geek in me that's interested in this or not, or whether it's a wider thing. Apparently no programmes at Celtic Park on offer tonight, which I think will maybe anger a few people, because there's people that like them as collector's items, because apparently they had Brendan Rodgers pre-match notes in them, so they now can't be sold. Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, that's just
understandable.
I mean, I think when you leave a football club, and basically, you know, a lot of times they try to get the trace away from you as quickly as possible. I remember when Steven Gerrard left, all the kind of posters and banners and all these kind of things around stadiums. It was a similar to situation before when whether it's Ange left Celtic or Brendan before that. You know, they tend to try and get the tippex out as quickly as they possibly can to move on. And just try and focus and forward. I don't really think it's a big issue. You know, I mean, you know, no doubt someone will find a programme, maybe it'll be worth money in a few years' time. The programme they didn't manage to sell.
It just shows you how quickly this has all kind of moved. You know, because clearly they've done their notes on Monday, and before you know it, you know, he's away and he can't do anything about it, and you have to build the programmes.
Oh, well, last week I think, you know, was it a week ago, you know, Brendan Rodgers out after the game talking about, you know, how well they'd played against Sturm Graz and had played really, really well. You know, as I say, a week in football is a long time. It's as I said, from Brendan Rodgers' perspective, then he's got to look for his next challenge.
Margaret is a Celtic fan up next. Margaret, are you reflecting on what's happened over the last couple of days, or are you already trying to look ahead?
I'm reflecting and trying to look ahead at the same time. So I'm back to front. I'm just totally, I don't know what to say. I feel that the board have brought Mr. O'Neill in and Sean Maloney in to placate the fans. Definitely Mr. O'Neill to placate the fans, but to get Sean Maloney in the back door as the next manager. So it's a manager on the cheap.
See, I've seen this theory, Margaret, but I was actually at the pre-match press conference or the unveiling yesterday. I did ask that question straight to Sean Maloney. Is being the Celtic manager, is that in your plans, whether that is short term, whether it is long term? And he shut it down pretty quickly. He said that that's not on his mind. He said that he plans on going back to his job that he had before. I think he was player pathway manager,
that's right,
wasn't
he?
So it doesn't look as if that's going to be the case, Margaret.
Yeah, that might be the way he's talking at the moment, but then you've had other managers at all clubs saying, oh, I'm not leaving, I'm happy where I am, and then they're off.
Now, Brendan Rodgers done that, Margaret, didn't he?
Pardon?
I said, Brendan Rodgers said that last week. He said he wasn't going anywhere, he was here for the fight.
Yeah, and I think Mr. Gerrard said that as well. Yeah. He was happy where he was. So, you know, if enough pressure's put on him, I think he would stay. It's too good a opportunity for somebody, but he's not got the experience.
Who would you like to see come in, Margaret?
For the style of football, I'd like to see Ange back, because his football was exciting and fast-paced and always moving forward. But I would take anyone with a lot of experience. I'm not particularly bothered who it is, but I just think they'll try and get Sean Maloney in on the cheap. And I don't, that's just what I think, I'm sorry.
Interested in the Ange Postecoglou suggestion, because yeah. I saw a story earlier on in the Scottish Sun, David Friel, who we know very well, reporting that it's his understanding that Ange Postecoglou is set to take a sort of hiatus from football, take a bit of a break before he goes back into management. What I will say to that is that not exactly what we heard about Brendan Rodgers before he then took the Celtic job? So you never know, it's a sort of never say never.
I think
could you see him coming back?
Yeah, I could potentially see him coming back. I think his affection with the fans and the job that he did, understand why Margaret would champion that. Whether he would do it on the back of a couple of bruising experiences, I think the Tottenham job was extremely difficult. He managed to get that European trophy in the cabinet. You know, he did promise that as well. And obviously the Notts Forest one was short-lived. Was it, you know, it was
8 games?
8 games was short or ridiculous. So he might want to take a step back for it all, because it does, Jim will tell you, it does take its toll. And come back to the Sean Maloney thing. If he manages to get a couple of really strong performances and there's a change, you never know which way things may well pan out. But genuinely, I don't see Sean being the answer at the moment, but things do change.
The only thing about it, you know, Margaret was saying there, I think it's a wee bit disrespectful to say to cheap. I don't think that's the case. It's whether he's the right guy, he's good enough. You know, the fact is that whether you have to go and pay compensation, I think, is immaterial. It's getting the right guy in. But Alec was saying he's going to have to be diplomatic when he's asked the question, Andrew.
Maybe not the cheap option, but would he be the convenient option? Because see if he wasn't attached to Celtic at the moment, and you looked at a guy whose only managerial experience is Hibs and Wigan. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be in the race at all, would they?
But, well, you never know. There's a fit and there's timing. Sometimes people can fit, but if they beat Falkirk tonight and then they beat Rangers at the weekend, then the board might then think, wait a minute, this can buy us a lot more time. We don't need to be looking at the next couple of weeks. We might be looking at the next couple of months. And then they can assess them. And as part of that process, Sean Maloney then might come into the equation. You know, up after the weekend, then there might be a different argument to be discussed. But I think at the moment, they've got the two games ahead of them. See how that goes. And then I think from then on, it was an interesting one. We spoke at the room, I mean, with John Kendy leaving, yeah. Mark Fotheringham coming in, Steve McManus moving into the... I don't see how you would just do that for like 10 days or a couple of weeks. You know, that would, to me, would be very strange to bring in someone from outside, because Celtic have got enough...
It's kind of how Celtic have operated, though, that they have coaches within.
Yeah, within the club to not bring someone like Mark in. No, I said, I had Fozzie a couple of times at clubs, you know, both at Dundee and at Norwich. A terrific boy, great confidence, I said, and he's went and learned his trade in Germany and in England. So, you know, he's going to bring something different there. He's a strong personality, he's lively, he's bubbly,
yeah.
Yeah, all that kind of thing, but he's a good coach, so therefore, you know, but I just think that would be a strange situation to say to Steve McManus, come in just now, say to Mark Fotheringham, come in alongside Sean Maloney, and then after a couple of weeks dismantle that again. I would find that quite strange.
Well, thank you to Margaret. We will set up a teaser for Alex and Jim next, and we'll look a bit more at that Celtic protest that's taken place. Seen some videos coming now. Looks as if thousands outside Celtic Park taking place. So we'll speak to Gabriel about that next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Lots happening on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to get involved as well. 0141 951 1025. About 20 minutes to go until kickoff in our 5 Premiership matches tonight. We'll set up a teaser for Alex and Jim, and then we'll get back to it. Nice and simple one, I think, tonight. Thanks to Chris from Port Glasgow. And this one, this is how simple it is. Can you name Martin O'Neill's last starting 11 for Celtic? Which was against Dundee United.
Lennon.
In the Scottish Cup.
Rab Douglas.
Okay, you have Neil Lennon, you have Rab Douglas. You know what? We'll leave that there and we will come back to it. You know how, certainly this season, there's been a lot of talk about what managers are wearing on the touchline, whether it is Brendan Rodgers' tie, whether he was wearing a tie or not. There was a bit of focus on Martin O'Neill, obviously. What was he going to wear? Because he used to like that. It was either like a jumper and sort of polo shirt underneath, or he used to wear like a sort of rugby type polo shirt. He's gone modern Celtic tracksuit, so the sort of skinny tracksuit, but copas.
Oh, of course.
Pair of copas. That was always going to happen, wasn't it?
Yeah. And they're like multicoloured, of course. No, they're black.
Oh, straight down the window. Right, we will let you ponder that teaser, and we'll speak to Ben, who is a Hearts fan in Larbert. Ben, you must be feeling good about things at the moment.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, guys. No, I'm absolutely delighted. Couldn't be any more impressed with how this season's gone. I'm just hoping to keep that going tonight and get another 3 points on the board. I'm glad to see that McInnes is opting for the same starting lineup that he's gone for the last 5 games. That's six in a row, so I'm a firm believer of it. It's not broke, why fix it? So I think, given we've got 3 games in the 6 days, I think Saturday at home with Dundee will be a better opportunity probably to rotate the squad than tonight. I think tonight's obviously going to be a much tougher ask. It certainly was earlier in the season in the League Cup.
You're saying you're hoping the team can do the job, Ben, and keep the run going. Do you think it will happen tonight?
I'm confident we can get the victory tonight. However, I keep hearing that when we do lose, which we will, we're not going to go through the season unbeaten, that, oh, that'll be it, that's the bubble burst and things. I keep hearing the narrative, whether it's from people comparing it to Aberdeen last season, where they obviously, it was a total fluke, they fell right off and there was no comparison for the first 12 games to the rest of the season or even since. But we've all dropped points, we've all get beat at some point, but there's no way that this squad is going to go through such a bad spell that they'll not still be either right up at the top end, whether it's first, second, you know, it's a long way to go competing at the business end of the season. They will get beat, but I just think everyone's going to jump straight on that. So whether it's tonight or in 6 games' time, oh, that's it, see, you knew they'd fall off, the bubble's burst. I just can't see it happening at all. I just cannot for the life of me see the squad depth we've got, the quality we've got. I mean, we've played the top 4 teams from last year already and we've won on an aggregate score of 8-1. So, you know, I just can't see it happening at all. So whether that's tonight or, as I said, further down the season, when it happens, it's not going to be this bubble burst that everyone keeps talking about when it comes around.
It's understandable what Ben's saying there, but, you know, you can clearly see the confidence when he's talking about his team. You know, when you look through the spine of the team as well, you've got Finlay, Halkett, Devlin, Beningame, Shanklin, and then you've got all the kind of talent wrapped around that.
Jim, so,
yeah, absolutely. And then you've obviously got a stronger bench than you've had for a long time as well. So, rightly so, they are very confident. And he's right, they won't go through the full season undefeated. But what they have at the moment, it's interesting. I was talking to a pal who was talking to one of the Hearts players in the lead up to the weekend. He says they're getting into games with a real confidence and belief that whoever they play, whether it's the top four that Ben's just mentioned there, they feel as if they can get results. And it's fairly evident when you consider the start that they've had.
Yeah, the only thing I think might end up a problem with Hearts
injuries.
Is No, I think they're strong enough to cope with that. I think it's more the expectation, because as Ben was saying there, the you know, the fans and the belief, and then you've got that's maybe an unusual thing. You know, Hearts obviously were poor last year, you know, so getting used to that expectation. So they're going to Paisley tonight, they're huge favourites to win that game. And then, you know, and other teams then start to think, wait a minute, so they then, you know, they become the big boys,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ones you want to shoot down. So, you know, your performance levels have to go up because you know you're playing a top team, playing at the top of their form. So it's those expectations and demands. But I mentioned earlier on that Derek McInnes is fully aware of that. So I don't think there'll be any issue from his preparation and how he sets his teams up. But it's just getting used to that sort of high expectations, because they are playing. I don't see them get away anyway. I've said this several times. I think they will be right in the mix. I think all the way through the season, I think they've got a really good balance. They've got terrific players in every position. They've got at least 2 players in every position. They've got plenty of options, plenty of alternatives, ways of changing it. No, I think Hearts are here right to the last day of the season. I would make them favourites just now to win the league. And people can say, well, you know, haven't they won the league for whatever many years, you know, but I would make Hearts favourite as we stand just coming up to Halloween.
If Hearts maintain it, Jim talks about that extra expectation that they'll have,
yeah.
But there'll also be that extra pressure on Celtic if they remain 8 points behind Hearts. There'll also be that extra pressure on Rangers if they trail as well. So it's not only Hearts that will be feeling the heat, it could be across the board, which then potentially plays into Hearts' hands.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because the expectations at Rangers and Celtic are massive. So if they're kind of dropping points, if any of them drop points tonight and then Hearts maintain their good start, then obviously then the pressure ramps back onto the old firm and so forth, and then the confidence will grow and grow. I don't really think there's a great deal of expectation, because it's so early in the season. They've had a brilliant start, But as it starts to wear on and as the season kind of gets towards the penultimate stages, then I think the pressure of the expectation of becoming title winners could then affect them.
Derek said that he's quite understandable. He says wait till the second round of fixtures is over, then he says come January we might then start getting a wee bit excited, and I think that's fine. And if you listen to all the Hearts players, they've obviously had a wee discussion within the dressing room, they're keeping it low key, which is understandable. Yeah, wait till January and then see where they are, and if they're still in that mix and whether they're 8 points ahead or anywhere in between or above, then you know, Hearts are saying, listen, we're here for the duration.
You get the expectation as well that the owner will invest when it comes to January as well, because the thing is, if you're in this prime, and he's obviously mentioned this, we will win the title within X amount of years, or we'll split the old firm, and all these kind of statements. If that materialises as quickly as it could potentially do so, in January, you would expect that they could actually throw a few more quid at it.
According to Derek McInnes as well, Hearts had a net spend in the summer of £200,000. So people talk about the money, and Tony Bloom has put in money, but it's not sort of manifested itself in the way that Hearts have thrown money about that they wouldn't have had otherwise.
I must admit, I don't think Derek has to say that. I think when people say that, then listen, someone could argue, well, your salaries are bigger and all these kind of stuff, and your facilities, your resources, there's a multitude of your squad strength. Everyone can say that, you know.
But then, compared to Celtic and Rangers, yeah, no,
I'm not saying that they can't compare with Celtic, but I just think that, you know, take the plaudits when they're there. I don't think you have to defend it by any stretch of the imagination. I think that what he's done so far has been exceptional as a manager, Greeny, because Hearts were poor. I mean, the transformation from Hearts last season to this season is night and day. And a lot of that is down to the recruitment, we get that. But a lot is also down to Derek McInnes and his staff and how they've managed to blend and build this team and get that confidence. I think initially early on with a lot of late goals, and then that's just gave them that belief and confidence that they can go on and achieve the points tally and the gap that they've currently got.
Well, thank you to Ben. We're going to speak to Mark, who's a Celtic fan, in a second, but let's check back in at Celtic Park and speak to Gabriel, who nipped outside and had a watch of the protests that were ongoing. Gabriel, what did you see?
Yeah, Andrew, the protest was due to start at 7 o'clock. I was out there a few minutes before for about 15 minutes in total. There was several thousand outside the front gates at just at the top of Celtic Way. One man representing the fans collective was on a microphone talking through all of the reasons why the gathering was taking place. You had the usual sack the board tune, chants against Dermot Desmond and Michael Nicholson specifically. A few other standard club songs as well. There were flares lit. But towards the end, a few cans were thrown at the stadium, hitting the glass facade of the boardroom. Security members with police were at the front and just calming the situation down. So let's see how the fans decide to back the team during the game. It'll be really interesting. We know that there's been these escalating protests, and some where they've been silent at the start of the game. We saw the tennis balls. We've seen them down at Rugby Park be absent for the start of matches. But we know that they will give Martin O'Neill a rapturous welcome when he walks out in a few minutes' time.
Thank you to Gabriel. We'll go back there and Easter Road shortly to build up to the kickoff at both of those games. Let's speak to Mark, who is a Celtic fan, up next. Mark, what are you making of it all?
Hi, well, I was actually on last Wednesday taking my call, and I'd get through to say that I thought a lot of the fault was lying with Brendan Rodgers himself as opposed to the board. So I know you like a theory, but my theory over the summer was, you know, Dermot and the board have went to him and said, what do we need to get into the Champions League? And are you going to commit yourself? And I think Brendan's went, I don't know if I'll commit myself. And then they went, well, we're not going to release the money, because they've released £75 million in the last 2.5 years. That's what Brendan's had to spend. A lot of his signings have been poor. And I think he just had enough, which is the Champions League was so flat. And I think the players got the feel for that. That's just kind of my theory of what's happened. And I don't know whether this protesting against the board is actually going to get anywhere.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm so interested to hear Brendan Rodgers' side of the story now, yeah, because there will be theories thrown out there, and Mark talking about the contract situation and saying that, you know, the fact that, you know, if Brendan Rodgers didn't want to commit himself to Celtic, then why would the board give
throw
him
money at
the
it.
Money? But Brendan Rodgers openly said himself that, you know, he wanted discussions, or he was sort of open to discussions anyway. Dermot Desmond saying that they initiated discussions, and Brendan Rodgers said the opposite.
There's two sides to the story, and they're conflicting. Yeah, and absolutely. And I think Mark's obviously come up with a potential scenario that may well be true or untrue. We really don't know. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think Brendan Rodgers has a part to play in here, to try and get some sort of clarity. And then, listen, we have to draw a line under it and move on. And Celtic will be looking to move on, because when you see a couple of thousand fans outside the ground and making their voice known against the board, so that's a bridge that actually has to be kind of brought together as well from the Celtic, you know, because something has to give at that level. Whether the board cave in and give someone and think, right, okay, somebody has to pay the price here just to try and appease, because
sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, absolutely. And unless something gives, I can only see this escalating, because the Celtic fans feel as if they need some sort of kind of movement, a freshening up, if you like, of the board. They feel as if they've stagnated and the club's gone back the way in the last 18 months, and that's the kind of general feeling. So ultimately something has to change, otherwise the protest will remain.
Yeah, I think the difficult thing is Mark's obviously given his theory, and that's exactly what it is. It's a theory, it's speculation, no one really knows. I'm not sure if Brendan Rodgers will make a statement in the kind of short term, just simply because...
Would he want that kind of thing?
Yeah, I know. We don't know, but I understand, you know, you might want to defend yourself or whatever it happens to be, but he also knows that the first thing anyone is going to do is then go back to Celtic and ask about their views, and then back to Brendan, and that, you know, elongates it and stretches it out. He may just want to move on. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, we don't know these things, but he may just want to move on. He may make a statement through
you know,
solicitors, the LMA, or whatever it happens to be. He might make a statement and try and put his side of it. But, you know, as Mark's saying there, that's his theory on it. And I just think, as I said, that we don't really know. Obviously, we've only got the one side of it, which is Dermot Desmond's. Again, as you mentioned earlier on, no statement from... you know, the chairman, the chief executive, anything like that, you know, anyone in-house at Celtic yet, and you would have thought if they would have been really unhappy, one of them might have made some sort of comment. So, yeah, I mean, I think tonight it's about the game. It's about Martin O'Neill, it's about Sean Maloney, it's about seeing if he can get some sort of response there. I don't like the fact that, you know, Gabriel's talking about people throwing things at the windows and all that stuff. That to me is not a protest. That's beyond that. I think if you've got protest, fine. Make your thoughts known verbally, but don't be throwing things like that. That's, you know, get the wrong way of approaching these type of things.
Well, thanks to Mark. Very quickly on this teaser, can you name Martin O'Neill's last starting 11 for Celtic? Of course, go back to 2005. So far, you've got Rab Douglas and Neil Lennon.
Didi Agat,
correct.
Petrov.
Stelian Petrov, yes.
Alan Thompson,
correct. We will get more answers next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just getting underway in the 7:45 kickoffs across Scotland. There is five games in the Scottish Premiership. I think we are actually too late to go back to things between Hibs and Rangers at Easter Road. That one has just kicked off, I think probably the same across the board. So we will keep you updated on anything that happens in the next 15 minutes. And of course, the beauty of Super Scoreboard. We're back between 6 and 8 tomorrow, and you can react to all the results and everything that is happening. Right, a bit of work on this teaser to do. Yeah. Thanks to Chris from Port Glasgow. If you want to send one of these in, you can email them to fulltime@clyde1.com. It is, can you name Martin O'Neill's last starting 11 for Celtic? It was the Scottish Cup final in 2005, a 1-0 win for Celtic. You have Rab Douglas, Didi Agat, Stelian Petrov, Neil Lennon and Alan Thompson.
Have you got Alec?
Stanley Vargas.
Correct.
We'll go for Paul Lambert.
Paul Lambert was on the bench.
Right. Ooh. So, well, I'll go for Sutton and Sutton and Hartson.
Sutton and Hartson. You get both right. We will revisit that shortly. So the picture's coming in from Easter Road. It is Hibs against Rangers in that one. Then I'll talk you through the rest of the fixture. Celtic Falkirk, of course, the big one. Martin O'Neill in the dugout alongside Sean Maloney. Kilmarnock Aberdeen, Motherwell Dundee United, and St Mirren against Hearts. Looking forward to these ones. That's a good few games in there, and ones that can really affect the league table, despite the fact that it is only the end of October.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're absolutely right. I was curious to see if Gabriel sent a message to see how good a reception that Martin got, because I would expect him, the roof to come off the place, an old legend coming back into the place.
First shot has come from Falkirk, Scott Arfield, a simple save, though, for Kasper Schmeichel.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the thing is, it's as I say, as Jim said, I think Falkirk's hitting some good form. That, you know, they've established themselves, they seem top half of the table as well, and we're just looking here at a moment where we thought Hibs could be potential threat at set plays. A lot of big guys in here as they're whipping it in now.
Yeah, the corner comes in, it's one off the training ground, but easily headed away by Connor Barron. Seems end to end at Celtic Park because Benjamin Negrin has had an effort of his own. That one pretty tame and comes to nothing.
What we'll say about Negrin is he doesn't have to get into some really good positions. You know, if he kind of capitalised on some of the good positions he got, and he'd been double figures now.
Yeah, I think he's got about four or five. And he's missed a good few. But I think a lot of the games tonight, Andrew, we mentioned there, Falkirk can go pretty relaxed because of the points tally that they've managed to accumulate. But big matches tonight, I think, for Aberdeen, who, I mean, their languishing was at a point off the bottom, with Livingston not playing tonight. And then you've got, as I said, St Mirren and Hearts. Hearts, of course, trying to keep up that gap on Celtic, or maybe even extend it, depending on how it goes tonight. But St Mirren needing a result, particularly at home. Stevie Robinson, you know, said, you know, team obviously going to be in the semi-final at the weekend as well. But, you know, they're needing a positive result to get into that game with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, for Hearts, I was going to say to the last caller that we had, just how important could it be for them that they don't have European football? Because I know they're not in the semi-finals this weekend, which means they could potentially extend their lead at the top of the table. But no European football. They've gone with the same starting lineup for the last six games. Yeah. You probably can't do that in the league if you've got European football to contend with.
Yeah, I think that's a real bonus for Hearts, Andrew. And I think as you rightly said there, I think it gives you that rest in between. So there's clearly an advantage there for Hearts because you can afford to go with the same personnel time after time. What a good save there by Jack Butland there as Hibs come down the left-hand side.
Yeah, a chance for Nicky Cadden. The ball worked out into the sort of left channel. Nicky Cadden was in the box, but shot to the near post, and it was Jack Butland who managed to save it. So a couple of early chances for Hibs.
I think that's one of the key areas for Hibs tonight. So if you can get in the fullback areas when they're slightly advanced, as you've seen there, because obviously you're looking for your centre-half to then come out and cover that space. So I think they'll be trying to kind of...
Yeah, also, you know, when you said when James Tavernier played there at the weekend, he's natural to go out there because that's his natural position. It's maybe not quite as natural
for
a centre-half to do that. They don't like going out of those areas. So Hibs will be looking to exploit that. But, it seems quite an open game at the start, and you would expect that. You know, Rangers, again, a really good positive
goal
start.
For Rangers less than 5 minutes in, and it's Danilo with a finish from the edge of the box. It's a really nice finish, isn't it, with his left foot into the side netting. It was Yusuf Chermiti that set him up at the edge of the box, and Rangers have the lead already.
It was a goal from the edge of the box, and I did say that earlier on, Danilo, for me, he's a player, Jim, that actually doesn't slash at the ball. He's very precise in what he does, and it's his weaker left foot, and he just slots it past the goalkeeper from maybe about 18 yards.
Yeah, it's good link-up play. I mean, when you play two up front, you're hoping that there's a combination play there. So it goes to Chermiti, he drives forward, squares it to Danilo, and he just sets it up with his right foot and then just clips it in his left foot. Nonchalantly, wasn't it? You know, for a player, yeah, he scored at the weekend, but it just shows you what a goal can do, a bit of confidence. Just bends it, uses the defender, Grant Hanley, as a blocker, and gives the goalkeeper no chance. It's a terrific start. Within 5 minutes, Rangers 1-0 up at Easter Road.
Rangers obviously spent a lot of money on Danilo and have seen nowhere near the best of what he's got to offer, you would suspect. This is what can happen when a new manager comes in. Yes, it is only two league games since then, but two goals in that period.
Do you mind if I ask Alec, because obviously Alec was there when Danilo was there. Some players, Alec, you know, a lot of managers will play with one striker.
But
some players are good at that, you know, that lone striker. They don't actually like anyone else, they don't combine. Is he the type of player that maybe likes a partner? Because obviously you've got Chermiti up there, who's a bit bigger, a bit more physical. And as you say, Danilo playing off him, maybe him playing as a lone striker didn't really suit him.
No, you're absolutely right, because he doesn't have the physicality, Jim. And when he's dropping in, he doesn't have anybody getting behind him. Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at Cyril Dessers, he was the opposite. He liked to kind of bustle about.
He liked up
channels.
By himself, didn't he?
Yeah,
really?
He was happy, but he liked someone round about him. And you actually seen that. And when you watch him play the other night, he can drop into little pockets. He can get the... He can be the one that's connecting from the back to the middle and then playing through. So you've seen that again there. But as I said earlier on, Jim, he's had such terrible luck with injuries over the course of his time there. You know, he'd such a long one. And then when he did come back, he scored the goal at St Mirren. And then I think he broke his jaw. Mm-hmm. So he was out for a period there as well. And so, you know, he's had really bad luck. He came in again and I think he had a knee injury when we got there as well. So he's had a torrid time with injuries. Mm-hmm. And if he can become injury free over the coming months, he could be a big asset to Rangers.
Obviously, there's still so much left to go in this game. But how big could that be for Danny Rule when it is a tough away fixture against a Hibs side who do have a lot of quality, just getting that early goal? And it's maybe not down to the system that they're playing or cutting through Hibs, the fact that Rangers just kind of won the ball high up. Was it a bit of a Hibs mistake maybe that led to Rangers winning the ball high up?
I think there is a wee bit of play there. I think that, you know, Rangers look to maybe exploit the areas. And again, you know, they say the two strikers, you know, one dropping off, the other one being more central. There was good combination play. And as I said, when you nick a ball off it, it's about how you execute space at the end of, and Rangers done it very well. The only thing from a Hibs perspective is, Alec mentioned earlier on, Rangers have had very few, in fact, not a clean sheet for such a long time that if you're in the Hibs camp, you're saying, listen, we've got a good couple of opportunities. We've already had a chance early on in the match through Cadden. There was another shot where Jack Butler made a save. So they are asking questions and they will continue to do that. But again, the longer the game goes, then the more space might open up at the other end of the pitch for Rangers.
Johnny Kenny nearly slipped through, but a poor touch from him means Celtic don't create an opportunity from that. An interesting detail, maybe a change that's been made by Sean Maloney and Martin O'Neill. Benjamin Negrin, he's back into midfield, he's also playing as the left central midfielder, which he's always played as the right central midfielder. So maybe they've seen something that Brendan Rodgers hadn't done.
I think that's probably to accommodate Engels coming off the right hand side. So, but the one thing about, as we said earlier on with Negrin, is that he gets into goal scoring opportunities. And Engels, if you think about the number eights for Celtic, they always get in amongst the goals and they're the ones that actually run in behind. So,
a shot from Mikey Moore there, saved by Raphael Salinger, was given away cheaply by Hibs, was going towards the bottom corner. We need to finish this teaser off. Can you name Martin O'Neill's last starting 11 for Celtic? You have Rab Douglas, Didier Gat, Stan Varga, Stelian Petrov, Neil Lennon, Alan Thompson, Chris Sutton and Craig Bellamy, which means you have, what's that, just two more? Bobo Baldi is correct. Just one more to go.
Yam Yalbi?
I think you maybe mentioned this guy, but it was during a break. So you might have thought you've already got him.
Craig Bellamy?
Yes, yeah, Craig Bellamy,
yeah.
Is correct. So you have all 11. Rangers have a corner into the box, which is cleared. I think the only goal out of the five matches so far in the opening 10 minutes or so has come at Easter Road, and it's come from Danilo. So Rangers have the lead over Hibs at Easter Road. No goals elsewhere, but we will be back at 6 o'clock tomorrow and giving you all the reaction to the matches and any other drama that happens as well. But thank you to Alex Ray, thank you to Jim Duffy, more importantly thank you to you at home for tuning in, for getting involved on the phones, watching on the live stream. It's Callum Gallagher that is up next.
All right.